What's good, Dallas? This is your girl, Brianna Javon. And if you've been thinking about starting a podcast or taking yours to the next level, I've got you covered. Book a podcast power session with What's Good Productions. In just 30 minutes, we'll tackle your ideas, crush those hurdles, and get your podcast ready to shine. Visit whatsgood-productions.com or click the link in the show notes. Now let's get ready for the show.
My first goal was to make $10,000 in less than 2.5 months. Whatever the instruction was, mm-hmm. I did it verbatim. And that $10,000, I became the bank of my household. I said, now look, y'all, because it worked, that don't mean you got to hit me.
Okay, y'all.
The What's Good Podcast. Are you ready?
Your number one source.
To all the keys in the industry.
With Brianna Javon.
It's the What's Good Podcast.
What's good? Hey, ladies and gents, this is your girl, Brianna Javon, and we are here with another episode of What's Good Podcast. We are in season 10, and as you voted, we are talking all things wealth management. Today, we have another guest with us, and her name is Miss Frances. How are you?
How you doing? And thank you. I appreciate this.
Yes.
I love this forum.
I'm excited. I know we're going to get into some good topics today. But as you guys know, we do not have interviews. We have genuine conversations. And we're going to start you off with an icebreaker. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. Your icebreaker is, what did money mean to you and your household growing up? Security, stress, success, or something else?
Security.
Okay. And why was that?
It was security because I grew up during a time where we had hyperinflation. It was the 70s. It was the oil embargo. And so my family and I had family meetings every week. And during those family meetings, we talked about strategy on how we're going to pull resources together. I even got a job. I became a piano player for a church. And to help the family bring in additional revenue. And I had a responsibility of a bill. And then we grew our garden. We just strategically plan things because everybody in my family ended up living with us at some point during those times. But my parents were I'm an only child. So my parents were thoughtful in their process, planning out. So when the oil embargo happened, see, we live in New Orleans. My mom worked in St. Bernard Parish and my dad worked in Jefferson. So they had to work outside the parishes and then come back home. When the 70s happened, when inflation happened, we just got smart, you know, and we looked at ways that, one, we could conserve, two, we could bring in additional revenue to.
I think that's so smart. I do want to ask you regarding, like, your parents, what were their backgrounds for them to have that type of mindset for, okay, let's sit down, let's count our eggs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my dad grew up in North Louisiana, a little place called Jonesville, Louisiana. And he was a World War II veteran, but he did a lot on land. So he grew up off the land. Whatever they killed, they ate. And my mom, she was a city girl. She grew up in New Orleans and went to school. So she went the education route. My dad went the blue collar route. Then my dad left after the war and stuff like that. He came to New Orleans. He became a teamster, worked on the riverfront in trucking and stuff like that. So they met in church. And then after they got married, had me, they were just strategic about what they did and stuff like that and how they did it and how they worked together. And so I tell families, you remember, I always say to you guys, you can't do this by yourself. It's a group, and you do need a group. You need that tribe in order to make it make sense.
I love that because to me it sounds like logic and education came together.
It did.
Because, you know, it's simple living on the farm.
Oh,
I got
family
members from the country, Hillsboro, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so many practical things that was learned.
Right.
And then, you know, especially with my grandma being from that small town, she got her degree at Prairie View. So she kind of put those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know how to survive, but now on a bigger picture, how do we survive now economically?
Right. Because, you know, my dad taught me how to fish by the moon. So we would have a farmer's almanac every month. My dad and I would go to Swagman's. Swagman's was the big store, like a Kroger's or something like that, a Walmart. And we'd go to Swagman's. We would pick up seeds, and we'd pick up the Farmer's Almanac.
Yeah.
And we'd take a big calendar, and we would map out. I thought that was so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Because he even demonstrated some mean in fishing. We had to go fishing when the moon got full versus when it was a new moon. Mm-hmm. So he said, I said, Dad, I just don't understand. Why is it we got to always fish?
It's so specific.
Yeah. He said, okay, babe. When he went crabbing, so he did two things. He would crab and fish. So those crabs were so small. Mm-hmm. Those fish were, he said, now you understand? I said, got it.
Okay. He showed you a visual.
Yeah, he showed me the visual point. So I understood that. Even in around Katrina, even though my dad had been deceased since 95, Katrina happened in 2005. Uh-huh. You know, we had tomatoes and we had oranges that grew in our backyard. You know, my neighbors said they jumped the fence and they had to eat. No, who was stuck in Katrina? Yeah.
Oh, I mean, they would have to be resourceful.
They ate off of our trees. And we have a pecan tree. They, seriously, I never forget, I came back home to assess the property. And my neighbor next door, he said, Francis, thank God for Mr. Smith. We had tomato sandwiches every day.
Because you had to survive at that point.
That's right. And they went to get the, and they got the oranges. I said, well, you never know.
Wow.
Isn't
you,
that
like
something?
You said, you never know.
That's right. He said, we had to jump the fence and we pulled the tomatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had tomato sandwiches every day.
Wow. Okay, so me, Dive, now I'm getting you now. Now that we done talked a little bit about your life, because, okay, background, I've been a part of Miss Frances. She's had a program or two, but many programs, but the ones I've been to are just a program or two. And now I understand, like, the strategic side of you.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that, we always start off our genuine conversation with who is the guest. Mm-hmm. So for you, who is Miss Frances?
I'm Frances Smith Dean. I'm originally from New Orleans, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And as a result of my upbringing in New Orleans, I grew up in historic Pontchartrain Park. Mm-hmm. Historic Pontchartrain Park is the first black subdivision that was in New Orleans, and that was where our middle class blacks were. Mm-hmm. And we grew up. I went to public school from K through sixth grade, and then I went to a private, independent private Jewish school in middle school. And then I went to Catholic school, Ursuline Academy, graduated from there. And so what happened is New Orleans is based on culture, family,
absolutely,
and tribe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because community, and when I say tribe, it's really community. Mm-hmm. Because community meant so much to us. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone was sick, we all pulled together. When someone lost a job, we all pulled together.
Yeah.
But we pulled together to make sure our neighbors and our friends were okay.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We didn't give money, but we gave resources. So
yes,
we would give food. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because people say to this day, every time I came in y'all house, y'all was at and which we did, mm-hmm, which we did. My dad, we had a deep freezer. My dad would say, go ahead, give whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's back there. Go ahead.
That's
get
right.
It.
Uh-huh. I said, go get it. You know, because we never wanted a person to leave and on an empty stomach.
Absolutely.
So when they didn't have all this, all the welfare and stuff, we had the resources. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody has something.
Mm-hmm.
And because everybody has something, we just pulled together.
Yeah.
So that's how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the fact where when my friends, and I'm fast forward to now I'm in my 20s, my friends wanted to start an investment club. So we did.
Mm-hmm. You've been doing this for a while.
I know.
Yes.
So we started a club. And we're getting into where we're buying homes now.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my 20s, 30s kind of. And so everybody was struggling with the down payment. Well, you know, me, I wasn't, but my friends were.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're going to pool together and I'm going to, you're going to take some money. We're going to flip it. We're going to compound it.
Yeah.
And that's how they got their down payments or paid off their things.
Yes.
Sorry. And mm-hmm, so we just, I helped them navigate that because they trusted me.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Getting the blueprint.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They trusted me. they knew if they were in trouble that they could come to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I was just that person, that crisis management person.
Absolutely. That's what
even when I was chairman of my finance committee at my church, at 19 now, mm-hmm. I'm chairman of the finance because they trusted my judgment.
Yeah.
When I went to be on that was at Bethany. Then when I further in my life, when I went to Greater St. Stephen's, there was a little scam, mm-hmm. an investment scam. So I never forget the bishop trusting me because he said, look, I need somebody who's really going to give us the right advice. You see what I'm saying? And I've seen and navigated lots of issues where people were needed a fixer.
Yeah.
So you'd call me the Olivia Pope of finance.
Absolutely.
Where I'd have to come in and fix stuff like mm-hmm. models or whatever. Even fast forward to today with Zan Holmes. They're in this MOU. They're in this situation. They can't charge. So you can't do social services because everybody else is doing social services. Yeah. So when I came in to be their executive director, I said, guys, you're going to have to put money in people's pocket.
Yes.
I said, because, and they were like, you know, they were kind of. Mm-hmm.
Just hesitant a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
I said, okay, what makes you think that people are going to give you money and you got 20 other organizations within less than a mile radius?
Yeah.
Think about that. I said, we got to change the model.
Mm-hmm. I want to know, like you mentioned, organizations trusted you.
Yeah.
You already had the reputation of I can get this done.
Yeah.
I want to start from the very beginning of mm-hmm. when you trusted yourself. Because a lot of times when it comes to business, we do it for free and not realize, like, mm-hmm. I could actually start a business or I can start consulting or whatever the case may be to support others. So for you, where was that pivot to say, I've done this blueprint for me, I can now do this for other people?
Well, let me go before I realized it. My cousins were business people, but they failed. Mm-hmm. They had great ideas and they were failing. And I said, either they're not reading something correctly. So I come out of a home with a library. One of the books was Think and Grow Rich. I had several books, but Think and Grow Rich. So I said to them, I said, guys, I said, it wasn't
adding.
Yeah, because I was great at math.
Uh-huh.
So I was a math person. So I'm like, something's not working. So I did. I sat down and I read Think and Grow Rich. And I'll never forget. My first goal was to make a $10,000 in less than 2.5 months.
Crazy.
And I followed it verbatim. Whatever the instruction was, mm-hmm. I did it verbatim. And that $10,000, and then I became the bank of my household because
I'm sure
my cousins or my fam, my mm-hmm. mom and my dad, I said, now look, y'all, because it worked, that don't mean you got to hit
okay,
me.
Okay, y'all stretching me thin.
That's right. So I did. I followed the instructions, mm-hmm. and I didn't deviate. And I was morning before I go to bed, whatever it said in the book, I did it.
I love that.
Then at that point, I knew I was on to something. I knew it. And even to the day, I tell people, I say, nah, you ain't gonna be staying home when it comes to finance. I don't care what y'all say. Because why? I know it. It's an innate ability
it's
now.
Natural for you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I tell people that, let me say this. The street pharmaceutical salesmen give me street creds all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Even back home in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They said, look, you're going to go to Ms. Smith. She's going to tell you A-B. And guess what? Listen and follow the directions. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if it don't come out right, it means something you didn't do right.
Mm-hmm. That's a difference. Okay, so with instruction, right?
Uh-huh.
I want to, let's now get into, because we got the story, your foundation. I want to get to now the financial part and following directions. Because mm-hmm. I feel like we can go to YouTube University. We can go to AI now. There are so many different resources.
Yeah.
But we don't follow directions. And then we're sitting here pouting like, why is it not working for me, this and this? And so for you, and we've talked about, you know, the practical things and your teachings.
Right.
When people come to you and they are, not say a concern, but they want to level up or they want to get their financials together. What does it mean to like actually follow the instructions?
It's difficult because self-doubt, belief system.
True.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you three examples of what I had to deal with when we first came back into the building after the holidays. My first seven clients, all it was an IRS issue. And I said to myself, why are y'all making moves and not seeing somebody before you made these moves?
Mm. Okay, so when you say that, like chatting with somebody just to get like another point of view?
Meaning this, in our instructions, we always say you have to have some type of tax strategy and to see somebody before, see a professional now.
Right.
It doesn't have to be us, but see a professional.
An
so
expert. Mm-hmm.
You'll know what the consequences are.
Makes sense.
The biggest thing with our folks are they're emotional. And they want it instantaneously. And they don't count the cost. And so I sit in my chair and I say, did you count the cost? No. I said, so that means we got to deal with the consequences.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if you don't count those costs, when the consequences come, don't get mad at the consequences. Just say to yourself, I didn't do my due diligence.
Cause and effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I said, I tell people this so many times because I said, what really irritates me is our folks, they don't, but yet they want a different result. And so I'm at the point now when I have to say, look, if you're going to come in here, you got to listen. And if you ain't going to listen, you can't come in no more. And they say, how you got? I say, easily, because it's my time.
That's right. That's right.
You can't come in here anymore.
Because you're the expert.
That's right. And if you're going to challenge me, you need to go somewhere else. And you're dismissed. Uh-huh. No, serious.
Yeah. I agree.
Because, and people say, but you, no. Because why? You're taking up space that somebody else needs to have our attention. You understand? And if we're telling you this, we're telling you this because it's good for you. Nobody, and people could tell you, ain't nobody could come back to you and say what she told me was wrong. Trust me, they've been throwing scams out there.
Damn.
And then when the scams come into the community and they come to us, I have to do my due diligence, my research. Then I have to go and I have to say, okay, here's why this is not legitimate.
Yeah.
I can't just say, oh, it's a scam. I had a member who wanted to get into Bitcoin mining. And so I said to her, I said, look, you have no legal recourse. And because you don't have any legal recourse, I don't want you to make this type of investment because of the fact you're at the end of the Bitcoin mining cycle. Mm-hmm. And at the end of a cycle, it crashes, okay? So, but here she said, but my cousins are making $200,000 and my friends are making. I said, okay, let me say this again. No, I'm just calling.
We're towards the end of the cycle.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you have no what? Legal recourse.
Mm-hmm. Well, for the people that don't know what that means, what does that mean?
No legal recourse means you could sue, but you're not going to win because this was not a regulated security.
Mm.
So I brought it to the Securities and Exchange Commission website where it says, buyer, beware.
Dang.
Because
so
it wasn't
the disclaimer.
Right, because it wasn't legitimate.
Yeah.
Now, it's not that you can't do it. It just means that when you try to go to court, you're not going to win. So guess what? She put $40,000, her $40,000, and somebody else put, oh, I'm not finished with the story. Then she sued. And guess what the judge said? Case dismissed.
Thrown out.
No legal recourse. Now, what she got from me for free?
Yeah. Dog.
She had an $80,000 expense bill. Plus, flying to California, of course.
Other expenses.
Yeah. And I kept saying, I said, babe, you don't have a legal recourse. I'm just honest with you. I mean, I'm showing you in black and white.
Yeah, she did. You actually showed her on the website.
Right. So Securities and Exchange Commission, because that's what I bring up first. See, when I first started teaching crypto, that's what I would bring up first. I said, look, guys, y'all bringing this stuff in here.
Right.
I said, I want you to understand before we get started, you could lose your money and won't get it back. That's why I had them to break up into groups, and we had to do the due diligence to understand utility.
Yeah.
We had to understand their treasury. We just had to understand certain aspects of crypto.
Mm-hmm.
You got what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then how would it be useful for the blockchain?
Mm-hmm.
So I had like a list of eight. Then they have to read books. Like you talk about homework. You ain't seen homework. Because the books are this thick, this big. I'm serious.
Yeah, I believe.
And they had to do presentations and oh no, you ain't seen the homework. So they would say, you know what? I feel like we back school. I just don't know what degree we're getting. And I have to say, I had to do that because I couldn't just put my hand up and the wind blow this way. You know, I had to show them
the reason
behind it. Not that, and I knew, because in 2008 when I was at Freedom Fest, I talked about autonomous school. I already knew what's coming.
Yeah.
I already knew it was going to be here.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? But I knew, too, this was a process. And with that process, we had to, transition? But we had to do our due diligence.
That's true.
And due diligence is mean you had to do your homework. You had to understand who were the developers. Mm-hmm. Who were these people out there? Could you talk to them? Now, we could talk to them. And I encouraged them. I said, guys, I want you to call them, talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to ask these questions, asking the right questions, because people a lot of times doubt your validity.
Right.
You understand? So, and now trying to doubt, to squash the doubt of my validity in the subject matter, I told them, I said, I challenge y'all. Because I told you, I said, I put my head on the chopper block. If I ain't the real deal, trust me, y'all could go out tomorrow and say I'm a fake. No, I did. I challenged them. I said, oh, no. I said, I'm not that kind of person. I said, I'm not trying to come in here and run through this little scam. They was trying to run in everything. See the blessing circle, water mine, all of that. I said, no. I said, guys, you do not need an MLM to buy crypto. Now, I'm not an MLM hater because I understand it's need for understanding sales and stuff like that.
Right.
I'm not a hater, but there's certain things you did need an MLM for when you could go direct.
True.
Why go through a third party when you could go direct once you understand and you obtain the knowledge?
True.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I said to them, I said, guys, stop trying to gather people so you could get 14,000 because you got two people on the block.
Yeah.
Nah, you don't need that. You don't need it.
That's okay, so that's so interesting because even the program that I was a part of, there was different stages.
Correct.
Before we got to the actual trading piece of things.
Correct.
And I appreciated that because, again, you have to peel the layer before you just jump into doing something. And now we 40,000 in debt.
Right. That's right.
So for me, if you can, explain what those different steps are, in a sense, for anybody that's looking for wealth management, if that's into trading, if that's into, you know, pretty much putting money into your savings account. We talked about RIAs. In a general sense, for anyone that's listening, wherever they may be in this process of saving, whatever the case may be, what are some things to actually think about as you're taking this step? Because economically, it's a lot of things going on in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
But what are some steps that people can take as far as doing their homework? If they're trying to do IRA, what does that look like generically? wherever they may be in this process, to start and be conscious about it?
Okay, first, it starts with the mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And then second is going to be your habits.
That's good. That's good.
If you notice, we dealt with procrastination.
Yes, we did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did.
And we said that you have to make a bold choice.
Mm-hmm. I still watch my video.
Right. Here's why you have to make a choice now. Mm-hmm. You have so many distractions. And when you're doing boots on the ground and you're slapping the fans and all of that, I'm not against having fun. Trust me. Uh-huh. I'm from the city of
fun. You are. You are.
But I also know we have to have discipline.
It's a balance.
Because, yeah, it's balance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that first step is, am I ready mentally for this journey? Because why? There are going to be some things that I don't know. And if I don't know it, I need to now ask the right questions. Not just a question, but the right question that pertains to me and my situation.
Right.
So here's where people get tripped up. And I'm not anti any agency, but I think that people have to come to non-biased people who have nothing to gain in products.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
If you go to somebody and they sell products, they're going to sell you their product, and they're going to tell you why it's the best.
Mm-hmm.
But if you come to a person like me, I'm going to tell you the truth. You see? Because I'm going to say, okay, this product has all of these fees. So if you put $100 in, only $70 is going in. Whereas if you get this product for a lower fee, $85 will go in. Which one will you choose?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
And I get it, because why? The salesperson has to make a living.
Absolutely.
And I'm not against it, because I was in that industry. Uh-huh. But again, due diligence is very important.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's the thing. Then the habit. Oh, girl. Woo! Let me take silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
I started teaching about silver and gold in 2019 to the community. Silver at the time was between $15 and $17.
Mm-hmm.
Gold was about $1,100. Today, a $100 bill will not buy you 1 ounce of silver. Mm-hmm. At that time,
mm-hmm.
a $100 bill will buy you 5 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, in teaching them, I said, guys, just dollar cup, be patient.
Yeah.
Because your chip will come in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? When I check accumulation plans, and I'm like, well, what happened? Oh, we went on a cruise. You understand?
Yeah.
Never grow weary in well-doing.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
Though your days will be what? Long.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of those same people, when they run on that cruise, mm-hmm. with the silver, maybe that silver's at $25 that they accumulated. You understand?
Yeah.
Now it's at $100, well, $85 today.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't have a job, or your job cut your hours.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Now you see what I was saying back then.
Be patient.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some people, they need it because they got laid off or they had major repairs and they didn't want to go to a payday loan. I get that.
Yeah.
Patience is a virtue.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say to, I get it. They didn't know me. They had to trust me. They had to go in. They had to buy and sell and buy and sell. You understand? I get it. I get it. I'm not. But when I'm telling you, and I'm showing you on the debt clock,
right?
The actual price of silver should be this price.
Mm-hmm.
But yet it's this price. And I'm telling you, somebody's suppressing that price.
Mm-hmm.
But one day they're going to have to stop suppressing it. I'm telling you. I would pull up that debt clock, and based on the amount of money we printed, silver ounce should have been like $700 to $900. Wow. And I'm showing them now. Mm-hmm. Again.
Evidence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh. But then you want to come to me and say, oh, Lord.
Yeah. Now you calling for them.
I said, nah. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Nah. See, you thought you was slick. And you didn't think I was going to find out.
Yeah.
But I always tell them, I said, guys, I'm going to find out because it's your behavior. Mm-hmm. And it's your behavior. And see, let me say this. When y'all know more than me, don't sit under me.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah, that's good.
When you know more than me, nah, don't sit under me. Mm-hmm. But if you know I keep coming to you with stuff that you don't know about, listen.
Mm-hmm.
So we had those who thought that they knew more than me.
Yeah. And they was trying it.
Yeah. And then they ran into those brick walls.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about your teaching is that it literally comes into fruition. So for an example, and I know I've shared this many times with you. Currently, there was a lot of layoffs. Yeah. She had told us these things. She was like, there's going to be a lot of layoffs. The parks are going to close. There's going to be a lot of changes. Yeah. And legit, y'all, I had no choice to listen because all the things was coming back to me. A friend of mine lost her job. The park up the street was closed. It was so much stuff. And it was like, why would you question this knowing that this has already been told to you? And so you had already placed the mindset situation on us.
Right.
We had gave us a book to read. I think it was Eat the Frog.
Eat the Frog. That's procrastination. Right.
Amazing. And then, like you mentioned, the wealth choice. This is a choice that you have to choose every day. Correct. And that still goes back to the mindset. So you structured a lot into mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think to wrap that part up, the patience, of course, is a part of the mindset. And it makes sense because if you're not getting your mind ready before we even get to the money side, when you get the money, you're not going to know how to act.
See, because when you get to my class, that's the gold mining process.
Yeah.
And in my class, it's a lot, but it's relevant. Because let's bring up the guy who was the caterer.
Yes, him. Yeah, that's okay.
I said, babe, you don't know your seasons, remember?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I brought out seasons. I said, guys, look, let me say this.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, share all the CS.
I said, you got to understand, I'm trying to prevent, if you go into winter season now, I'm trying to get you to a spring and a summer so that you can save up for that winter. That's why we do trading.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. That's why we teach investing, is because one, you need to understand your clients are now what? Broke.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been laid off. Okay, so that's number one. So now we got to shift. And so he said in class, he said, you know, I wondered why I couldn't make no money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I said to him, do you know your variable costs and your fixed costs? Mm-hmm. Those were things he didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So for him, I said, now, guys, let's help him understand what other things he could do, even going to local farmers.
Yes, we did. Uh-huh. We did say that.
Got you remember?
Uh-huh.
I said, because what he has to do differently, because he says, as a result of increased costs, he's got to work in the business versus working on the business.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying, okay, if we can get your business to a point where you can work on the business, but it's just going to take you, doing something different.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to hedge. And that's when I started bringing in hedging. I said, guys, it's risk management. It's like insurance. When your house burned down, you have insurance. You got it? Well, your winter season is your insurance season.
That's right.
Got it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he was like, oh, This is so much. I said, babe, but we want you to be successful.
We got to have these hard conversations.
That's right. Yeah. I said, look, you got to be successful. I'm telling you, your meat price is going to skyrocket. But on the Super Bowl, what's the number one and two? Meat, mm-hmm. beef, which he sells a lot of ribs.
Yeah, yeah.
And shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, and I said this last year, I said, you're going to kind of higher meat prices. How are we going to hedge? Well, I'm going to just charge my, I said, but your client broke.
They broke.
You understand what
that's
I'm saying?
That's true.
So you can't just do that and then invest in all this meat knowing your client is not going to be able to afford it.
That's true.
You're going to have to change your game plan. We even say maybe consider a vegan menu.
Yep.
But again, listening.
Mm-hmm. Because I definitely want to ask for a one-on-one. What can we do? How can we make this?
Right. You understand? It's just listening. It's just understanding. So in my prior, when I was in the ones, I was a business advisor for the SBCD, mm-hmm. which is Small Business Development Center. And we used the Kauffman Foundation materials. And a lot of low-income individuals or veterans were in this program. Mm-hmm. The one thing I got to attribute to them, they listen.
Mm-hmm. Now to take orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just like I say to people, I say, guys, we just need you to listen and do what we say. And the reason why I'm saying that is you don't have time to wander or feel it out or see if it makes sense. You just don't have that kind of time. No, you don't.
Facts.
You don't. And you don't have that time because of where we are in our economy. You know, our Juneteenth is going to be June 17 and 18. And we guess what our topic is? Mm. Preparing for the space economy.
Yeah. And you're the perfect person to do it.
Yeah, and last year we was like the asset economy. Then the year before that, the token economy.
Yeah.
Why? These things are moving forward. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're trying to say. As things move forward, now you have to shift.
Yes.
But you must understand your business season. Mm-hmm. And so I did a podcast earlier this year with Alexandria Friends, and I said my goal is to help prevent our small businesses to go into their winter season quickly.
Yes.
And help them create that cush, that mm-hmm. buffer. Because if you don't have those buffers, when stuff starts changing, we just don't want to see you in despair. That's, really? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So mindset, habits are the first two important things. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing I would say, a part of the process, understanding your business season.
Yep.
And understanding the macro season. Mm-hmm. So because if your business season is not sort of aligned, you're still going to have some challenges, but you got workable challenges. And then you have to understand leverage, hedging.
Okay, what is that?
Okay, so leverage, remember, I said you have human resources, sure. meaning group, that's mm-hmm. leverage.
The tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the tribe. So we leverage by pooling together. Mm-hmm. Also, we leverage by putting a little bit and getting a little bit more. So like derivatives or leverage, makes leverage sense. Project. Mm-hmm. So that's the form I say, we got to learn to leverage in our business deals. So like you live, you're leveraging mm-hmm. your business association.
We
so
are.
Remember I said, guys, get together, you're business owners now. How can you leverage?
Mm-hmm.
God, because why? Everything doesn't have to be a financial transaction. But it could be to the point where you come together, do projects together, and still have some outcomes and takeaways together.
That's good.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's your leverage. Then hedging is your insurance.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in hedging, okay, so let me take gold. So when we started purchasing gold, it was to hedge against a falling dollar. Because when the dollar falls, that's why we got inflation.
Makes sense.
That's why we buy gold backs.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the dollar hasn't really gotten to the level that we know it's going to get to. So when the dollar gets to, let's say, 88, oh, prices.
I agree.
You see, so the gold backs that we buy as tribe, is going to help substitute for the greenbacks that we have.
Now, I didn't know about the greenbacks.
The greenbacks is your dollars.
Got you. Okay, okay, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the gold bags, the Makes gold sense. Notes that we have is to substitute that higher inflation. So
makes sense. I got you now.
Yeah. Okay. So when, because I know y'all saying, why does she have us buy?
I did it.
Yeah, I know.
That's what we need to do. Right. I had the people sending me money.
Right. And the reason why we did it is because, and for those who are in Texas, in September, we get to use our gold bags.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Texas is putting in where, yeah. See, so I knew the legislation.
Yeah.
And so knowing the legislation, first it was going to be like April, but they started putting in, so September is when we're going to be able to use a different form of currency, which is gold. Nah, hence, y'all already there.
We already there.
Right. Now, here's the good part. Remember when we started buying, it was like $6?
Mm-hmm.
It's like $9.
Even the account, I'm not sure exactly how you say it, but the stock that we bought,
yeah,
went up too.
That's right. Yeah. Because it's the cotillion effect. Okay, so
okay.
The cantillion effect is you have to, when the economy shifts, you have to make sure you're in the right asset classes.
Makes sense.
So now we were making sure
mm-hmm.
you shifted to the right asset classes because of purchasing power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So your stocks was a part of that portfolio. Your gold backs are part of that portfolio. Your business is a part of that portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you're insulating yourself from layoff because you ain't gonna fire yourself.
That's right. We gotta keep this thing
right.
Going.
You see what I'm saying? So in doing that, it's just understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, you know, when I'm explaining, I said, guys, we're gonna have to get to the gold back. I think when I first explained it, it was like $4. When I first explained it in the class, guys, it was $4 something. Because remember, I was doing the math.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we went to our 12-week buying program mm-hmm. for the tribe, it was at $6. Yeah. By the time we ended, it was... So what is that telling me?
Right.
The dollar is what?
Increasing.
Yeah.
Decreasing.
The mm-hmm. purchasing power.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were buying something that is going to protect your what? Purchasing power.
Absolutely.
Didn't know the state of Texas was going to start allowing a new system for its citizens. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so that's what we are. That's what we are.
Okay, let's transition to our next segment. It's pretty much called Highs and Lows.
Okay.
And this is to, of course, learn from the experts.
Okay.
I feel like people go through things, but outside on social media and things, everything looks so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's start off with a high that we can celebrate with you. Any type of successes that you had incurred as being a financial business advisor, financial expert, all the things.
2025 was my year of awards.
Yes, you. I saw
it. It was, but my best achievement was my partnership with the Real Estate Council and the Associate Leadership Class of 2024 when we did a rehab on the First Church.
Beautiful.
This was the best investment that I could ever tell anybody into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Have people think so highly of you that they'll come alongside
and work with you.
And work with them. And I mean, people donated. We had the roof, we had lumber. I mean, you just don't understand. It's so amazing. But that's because people valued what I brought into the community and to shift that mindset. And so, you know, I'm really humbled by those who thought highly of me and admired me from afar, but who said, look, we see what you're doing and we appreciate it. So for me, 2025 was such a, I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful and I'm humble because mm-hmm. you never know who's watching. That's number one, but you never know who appreciates what you do for the community. Because the low part, and let me deal with the low part, is when people try to stop your momentum. And at first, I didn't get it. But then I had to, you know, somebody said to me, they said, you came into a very hard place, which is South Dallas. And in coming into this place, you wasn't talking what everybody else was talking. So it's like breaking up the fallow ground. So that was that hard place for me. Because it's like, how do I break through this mindset? Mm-hmm. And I get it. I get it now. At the time, I didn't, because I was like a bulldozer. You better get up. You know what I'm saying? But now I do get it.
It's softening you up a little bit.
Yeah, I get it, because of the fact that when people don't understand, pride prevents them from coming to you so that they can't. Here's what people say, well, where you come from? Mm-hmm. You know, but it's okay. It's okay, because they don't understand. You know?
And I feel with that, like, even with me meeting you, what's meant to be is what's meant to be.
That's true. That's true.
Regardless.
You're right.
Because I saw you at the Dick.
Right.
And I had to leave for whatever reason. I was like, I need to follow up with this woman. Like, who is she? Mm-hmm. And then I had came back. Yeah, because I was meeting somebody. Because she had came from California. And me and her were supposed to meet up. So we went outside. We went inside. And it was just so much. And I couldn't find you no more. And so I went upstairs. And I saw somebody I knew. And she was like, how did you enjoy everything? And I was like, well, Miss Francis, I need to find her. And she was like, oh, girl, here goes her LinkedIn. And that's how I found you.
That's right. That's
and then
right.
From there, y'all know Comerica's my home.
Yeah.
I was backing up and I was parking my car. And the next thing I know, I see this lady, she walking. She minded her business. I said, is that Miss Francis? I'll go into Comerica. I was like, hey, she probably in a meeting or something. And I go in the room and there she is. I was like, yes, Lord, like, this is the day. You got to go talk to this woman, whatever happens. Yeah. But with that being stated, I think, you know, of course, what's meant for you is what's meant for you. And that's God true. Is going to push you in a situation to where you don't have to chase it.
No, you don't.
You don't have to prove yourself. Like, people will know your work when that's they true. See you.
That's true.
Even
that's
though true. You're from New Orleans and you're coming into South Dallas. When I tell people I was doing wealth management, are you gonna have Miss Francis? Are you gonna have Miss Francis? Are you gonna, like, you're not even in the room, and they making sure that I have you on the side. I was like, yes, I got Miss Francis. And I just love that about you, because you don't, like, your work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And thank I don't know you. If anybody's told you that,
thank
but
you.
I just think you carry that confidence, and even with that confidence, it comes with a long resume.
Yeah.
A very long resume. So even though you did have to pivot in a new seat, I think that happens with anything.
That's true. That's true.
You're going to have to pivot. But I think where God has you, it's only going to continue to develop and continue to do great things.
And, you know, I love the community. Mm-hmm. I love all the community that you guys brought from Coastline. Because I know when I came in, everybody was like, okay.
You know, me and Liv were part of the top three.
I said, and then I said, okay, guys, I'm just going to give it to you like it is. You know what I'm saying? Because I want to see you succeed. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. I want to see you succeed. I want to see you get to a point in your business where you succeed. I don't think y'all understand. I have so many of my students from New Orleans who contact me, who say, how much they talk about how I was as I was a high school Algebra 2 teacher when I started teaching the stock market games. And to see them, oh, girl, I go visit them at their homes.
Yeah.
And to see they were single parents, teenage moms and dads, and just to see them now is just, and then the fact that they, and then they got their families on board. Mm-hmm. I know I did my job.
You do? I mean, you did and do it.
Yeah, did and do it. Yeah, I knew it. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't make this up. You understand? You can't fabricate this. You know, they were like, look, you're in Dallas. I'm telling my homeboy.
Somebody drove down here from one of the passes.
They drove from Houston.
Yeah, they did. That just speaks volumes.
Yeah. But you know what it does too? As it speaks, it's the need for the community.
True.
It's the need for the community to really understand what's going on. So when you see people making that extra mile, it's the need for that community to come together to actually have the money conversation.
I love that. All right, so we have a few more segments left and we'll be wrapping it up.
Okay.
Our next one is one free advice. This is what we talked about.
Okay.
Where a lot of times we go into these different conferences or we go to a coach. We pay thousands of dollars. And we're like, what did I learn? Like, what did I receive? Yeah. I didn't get nothing from this.
Yeah.
What is one actionable tip for anybody that's listening or watching that can take and get started today?
Okay. Calculate your net worth. Because you have to know where we're starting, that starting line. Calculate your net worth, and your net worth is going to be your assets minus your liabilities. And if it's negative, don't worry about it. You just understand what you have to do going forward in order to deal with the negative. I had a young man who texted me, and he thanked me. He was in one of my programs here in Dallas. He had a negative net worth. Like negative 37. And his positive net worth is $394,000.
Come on.
And he did not make a high net worth salary. But he did become a business owner.
Made a difference.
Yeah, he did. So in our discussions, you know, over the time period, I said to him, I said, it's not how you start, but how you finish. I just need you to be consistent. That's all. If you're consistent, you're going to scale, and he has, and so many others that were in his situation, similar situations, have done the same. The next thing I would say, so net worth would be, say, I want to propose to you, maybe we do some mini series, but you all need to, if with this podcast now, I'd like you to contact Bree so we can set up like 3 mini series, like actionable things. So that once you deal with your net worth, then you have to deal with what asset classes you need to start investigating. Also, what habits you need to attest. So also with net worth, I want you to look at how much did you spend in what categories in 2025?
So good. Because mine is meals.
Because we like to, you know, have not. So I would like for them to do that. So when we do the mini series and you calculate your network and in 2025, you could tell me, where did the money go? You know what I'm saying? Then that's a start. That's a workable plan.
That's workable.
Let me say, it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
But you got to acknowledge, too.
Yeah,
you do. So that makes sense.
You do. You have to acknowledge it.
Okay, so tell the people how to get in contact with you, websites, LinkedIn, and we'll also have this on our show notes as well.
Right, and let me give you my ZAMLC Homes, but in show notes, we'll put in the financial educator because that's what came here to Dallas is the financial educator. So at ZAMLC Homes, telephone number 214-324-4443 is the Zan Wilson Homes. And you could go to www.zwhjcoc.org.
I love that. And we're going to make sure everything is there. Click. She gave y'all a phone number. She gave y'all a website. There should be no reason why you not tap to these resources.
Oh, also, too. If you go to our website, or we have Intro to Mastery next week.
Okay.
And it's on the 10th. It's from 11 to 1. And then we also have Creating a Sustainable Models is the next week after that. And then I'm going to teach how to raise capital. And then we have the boot camp that's coming up with Dolly and Brandy. So we have some really good sources this month for you. Because we love you. This is the month of love and Black History. We want you to be your best self.
I love that.
Thank you.
Okay. So the last thing we're going to do is our motivational moment, where we pretty much either discuss a Bible verse or a quote, something that really caught my attention that I bring on here just to give people that extra motivation. Mm-hmm. And so today I am going to do a Bible verse.
Okay.
The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And that's from Proverbs 21:5. And so I'm going to read again. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. And I really feel like this ties up our entire conversation of being patient.
That's true.
I think now the microwave example that everybody says, we want things instantaneously. And once we create a plan, get that structure and strategy, follow instructions.
Correct.
We will get to where we need to be, and that's abundance. That's Amen. Prosperity.
That's right.
But if we try to do it the quick way, or, you know, oh, somebody else said this, now it's knocking you off your path.
Correct.
Instead of staying according to what that structure and strategy is, I think that's the difference on how we deviate and pivot to other things that's not calling for us.
That's true.
And so when we have a tribe, when we have that community, when we have resources, I feel like those are the things that we need to lean on. And then when we get that instruction, we be patient, because at the end of the day, it's already written what God has for us.
Amen.
But in order for us to get there, we have to follow instruction.
Amen.
So what are your thoughts?
I love it. And because the plans of the diligent does lead to riches and wealth and abundance. And it's steady always wins the race.
Absolutely.
Steady wins the race. So excellent. Thank you for your platform. Thank you guys for requesting wealth management. Mm-hmm. I look forward to it. Again, contact Brianna. Let her know if you all want us to do a mini series. And like I told you, I'll sponsor it. Okay?
Exciting times.
Okay.
Well, with that being stated, that's the end of the episode, y'all. So y'all have y'all's instructions. And so if you're listening to this morning, noon, evening, or night, thank you for supporting the What's Good podcast. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of What's Good Podcast with your girl, Brianna Javon. If you found today's discussion inspiring, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform. Explore additional resources on our website at whatsgood-productions.com and find our social media links listed in the show notes. Stay tuned for more captivating stories ahead. Until next time, stay blessed and keep uplifting your community.